You know you're supposed to be. So, guys, we're back, and no plans on being anywhere else the rest of the year. We'll be here. But thank you. I just want to thank Pastor Al for filling the pulpit. Let's give a round of applause for Pastor Al. Alex in the back. I know there's a little bit of technology glitching, but he's one of those guys. We don't see him. He's behind the scenes, but man, he's. The last several years, he's worked hard and learned a lot to get all of what you guys enjoy on the TVs and sound, you know, the audio. Ruth back there working her magic on the TVs. Thank you, guys. And one last one. To everybody that's cleaning the church, can you just stand up? One more. I know we did this not recently, a few months ago, but everybody that cleans, come on, just stand up. Thank you, guys, so much. Behind the scenes, but we have a big Facebook Messenger group, and my phone's dinging 5 or 6 times a week. Bathrooms are done, church is clean, you know. And guys, thank you. Seriously, thank you so much. All that stuff we don't typically think about, but I like sitting on a clean toilet. I don't know about you guys. I enjoy that. It's one of those little things. Go to a foreign country, and you'll enjoy toilets in America a lot. You're like, wow, I never thought about being grateful for a toilet. So anyway, couple of quick announcements, guys. We are going to have, details will be out very, very soon, next day or two, but we're going to do a Good Friday service this year. Thinking probably around 7 p.m., probably be like an hour and a half max, maybe a little shorter than that, probably. We'll see. If we can get the whole worship team here, we will. If not, then we'll just be more like we did this morning, kind of an acoustic set. We'll have communion together, but I guess, you know, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, whatever, I've given up splitting hairs about that. We know what we're celebrating. And you know what? Besides what we celebrate in December, though everybody, you know, two times a year everybody goes to church, Christmas and Easter, right? But besides Jesus coming to earth, this 2 weeks from now is literally the cornerstone of our faith. So, you know, Good Friday is the day that we celebrate Jesus hanging on a cross for us, right? And, you know, I think without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, right? I think we need to take some time Friday night and reflect on that. And we don't talk about that enough in church today, do we, right? Everything's about God's got plans for you, bro, and all this. And that's all true, my beloved. But without Jesus hanging on a cross, without that, we've got nothing. We got nothing. We're dead. Dead in our sin, stuck. And then Sunday, we will celebrate Jesus coming back victorious by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, details coming, but we will do Friday night, probably around 7-ish. We'll have communion. And honestly, guys, I really feel in my spirit it needs to be a little bit of a somber night. Because it wasn't a good Friday then. Amen. So I think we need to maybe a little bit of somberness come back to the body of Christ and realize that this is the day that Jesus paid for my sin. Amen. Other than that, we've got some other things coming, but we'll let you guys know soon. Bible study, we'll be launching a Bible study soon, but all that stuff's coming. So let's get into the Word of God. Back into my series, series on the Sermon on the Mount. And I realize, my goodness, by the time we're done, it'll be a year. Wow. A year. I started it July last year, and we're going to be pretty close to July before we're done. So we're almost done. We're about halfway through, a third of the way through Matthew 7. And this morning, a little sub-series, right, called Receiving, Finding, and Entering. Receiving, Finding, and Entering. So last Sunday, a month ago, I finished up my last sermon before vacation with this statement. And again, this is not an exhaustive study at all on prayer, y'all, but the statement I finished up that sermon with is with prayer ultimately should be teaching us to trust God. Right? Can we pray and move mountains and all that? Yes, of course. We just heard a testimony of this young lady praying for someone that was diagnosed with cancer and the cancer was gone. Right? Obviously, we should pray about those things, but I'm talking about in the context of this sermon from Jesus. He's talking about a sermon that if we do what he says in the sermon, Our lives will be lives that will be built on the rock, and when the storm hits, it will not fall down. Amen. So, prayer is about trusting God. Amen. Matthew 7, 8 through 11, up on the TVs, I believe. For everyone, let's read this out loud, everybody. Come on. For everyone, ever say that together? Everyone, that's like six of y'all. Come on, everybody. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we just come to you. Thank you for the power of your word. We ask for open hearts, open minds the next few moments, Lord, that we'd hear the Spirit of God as he speaks to us and implants. James says to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. God, we want something implanted in our soul this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, we're going to spend the rest of the morning literally on the first half of the first section of verse 8. That's it. So look at this statement. Everyone who asks receives. All right, question. How many of you have asked God for something and not received it? If you're not raising your hand, it's because you're lying. We'll have an altar call after church for that. Come on, y'all. Don't we think about it? We read statements like this, and then we go, yeah, but there's that time that I prayed for something and nothing happened. Right? So, again, my sermon a month ago was the point of kind of one of the points I made was that we need to ask God about things and allow God to answer as he sees fit. Can I get amen? How many of y'all have prayed for something that you knew theologically, doctrinally, was well within the will of God? How many of you ever prayed for something like that and it didn't happen? For sure. You ever pray for somebody to get healed, they don't get healed? Absolutely, right? The most powerful healing ministers that have ever lived prayed for people, and some people get healed, some people don't. You ask any of those, go study those people. You ask them, why this person healed, why that? And you know what their answer is? We don't know. I don't know. It's not my job. My job is to lay hands on the sick. That's what the Bible says. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? Does that make sense? So I'm going to touch on some things this morning, y'all. I'm going to try to build something here. Again, it's not airtight because prayer is a little bit of a mystery, right? But I'm going to give you some biblical principles that I believe, from what I can see in Scripture, will position us to what I'm going to call receiving prayer. Right? Not like, I need you to pray for me, but I pray and I receive what I'm asking for. Does that sound all right? John 15, let's go over there. We're going to just build around this, all right? John 15, verse 1, Jesus speaking here says, I am the true vine, my Father. Look at what it says, church. My Father, everybody say my Father. My Father is the vine dresser. We're going to go slow. Every branch in me, you can't be a branch in Jesus if you're not saved, right? Right? You can't get grafted in unless you're saved. That's in Romans. Go study that in Romans. Paul teaches all about the natural branches were cut off. Those are the Jews so that the wild branches could be grafted in, but the natural branches are going to be grafted back in at some point, right? Paul's like, don't get arrogant because God's going to graft the natural ones back in. Right? You can't be in Jesus. You can't be grafted into the vine unless you've been saved. You've said yes to Jesus, right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the Father, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Ouch. First half of that verse kind of shoots a hole in that once saved, always saved thing, doesn't it? One of the biggest lies we see in the church today is once saved, always saved doctrine. Absolute garbage. And it's why we have the church full of people living all kinds of crazy lives thinking they're going to heaven someday. Can I get amen? Look, if we're all growing, right? We're all working something out. And what I tell people, well, Pastor, what if I die and I'm still struggling with something? Are you struggling with it? Yes, good. As long as you're fighting, that means you're not giving up to it. Can I get amen? Verse 3. Remember, guys, we're talking a lot about bearing fruit today. All right? That's important, bearing fruit. Verse 3. Jesus says, you are, look at what he says, church, already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, I struggled with that verse for years. I'm like, Lord, I can do all kinds of stuff. I did all kinds of stuff for 20 years before I got saved. And one day the Spirit of God said to me, nothing worth doing. You didn't do nothing worth doing. A bunch of selfish garbage. Amen. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So church, back to Matthew 7, verse 8, right? Everyone who asks receives, right? Now we have Jesus teaching a very similar thing here, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask, look what he says, whatever you wish, and it will be done. Now, I remember as I was studying this week, I remembered a sermon I preached probably 2 years ago. And the whole sermon, I might have even preached a couple of Sundays about it, but the whole sermon was basically called Not Yet. Right? And so many times we get frustrated because we pray, we believe, we get a promise from God, we get a prophetic word over our lives, and we don't see it come to pass. And we get discouraged because the farther we get removed from when the word was given, we see it, we're always looking backward at the word given, and we get farther from it and get discouraged. But God says, you're looking the wrong direction. Look forward, because every day you're farther away from when it was released is a day you're closer to receiving what was spoken over you. The Bible tells us this. People are mocking Christians. We'll be mocking Christians. Oh, where's this Jesus that you believe in? Sure, he's going to come back. That was 2,000 years ago. Right. We're getting close. I ain't discouraged. I'm a little scared. You know what I'm saying? Dude, we ain't got a lot of time left to get some stuff straightened out. Can I get amen? Let me tear this down a little bit, y'all, because I want to, some things I think will help us this morning. According to verse 3 in John 15, yeah, it would appear to me that what we would consider to be like sin is not really an issue as far as getting our prayers answered. Jesus says, you're already clean. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you, right? When Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, Peter comes, you know, arrogant, cocky Peter. He's like, well, we'll wash the whole thing then, you know? He's like, not just my feet, Lord, wash everything. And Jesus says, no, you're already clean. But you're in the world, so you get a little bit of dew on your feet. Right? Think about back of those, when they wore open sandals and there's donkeys and stuff just pooed everywhere. Pretty, you know, you ever step in dog poo or fresh? Ugh. Those guys were walking in it all the time. So imagine washing people's feet is gross now. Imagine doing it back then. Walking through all that stuff, right? You see what I'm saying, church? Look what Jesus says, you're already clean. So what I'm seeing here, think about this. It appears to me that we can be clean, or in other words, we can be forgiven and not be fruitful. We can be clean and not be fruitful. very selfish. A lot of selfish Christians in the American church today. Can I get amen? See, Jesus says, you're already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Then the very next thing, abide in me. He's saying, you do it. You do it. Abide in me. Choose me. Choose to stay connected. He's like, look, I'm here. I know where I'm at. You know where to find me. You choose to stay connected. Abide in me, right? I'm not going to make you do it. You choose. So in other words, we can be forgiven and not be abiding in Jesus. Is the gospel really about being forgiven, or is it about becoming who we were created to be? So we've made the gospel all about, oh, you can have your sins forgiven. Amen. My goodness gracious, praise God. But why do I need my sins forgiven? I need my sins forgiven. I need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb so that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit and become the person that was hidden in God before I came to the earth. That person, the Son of God, the daughter of God, the creation of God that God called me to be. Then we think about, oh, I'm forgiven. It's so selfish. It's like, well, so I'm forgiven, so now I can do something for God. Shouldn't be turning inward, it should be turning outward. What can I do? Who can I be now for the Lord? Amen. So I was sharing with a friend of mine the other day, I'm convinced, church, if we've got a decent handle on the gospel message, it's not that hard to get somebody to say yes to Jesus. What's hard is getting someone to say a daily yes to Jesus. Come on, man. If you really want to walk with Jesus, it ain't so easy all the time, is it? Sometimes you're like, what on earth did I sign up for here? Right? So Holy Ghost starts dealing with some stuff, and you're like, yo, we're not going to talk about that right now. Right, church? Being a real Christian is not for wimps. Can I get amen? See, we've all got this journey after saying yes to Jesus, learning to draw literally everything from him. Again, the picture is a vine and a branch. I was sitting in my dining room, the other day working on this, looked out my window, got trees in my backyard. I'm looking at all these trees. You know, there's the trunk and then branches shooting out all over the place, right? The fruit, my beloved, never hangs off the trunk. It hangs off the branch. But branches don't support themselves. They don't sustain themselves. They're sustained because they are hooked to the trunk. They're hooked to the vine, right? The life comes from the vine, not from the branch. That's what Paul says in Romans. Paul says, the root supports you. You don't support the root. Right? See, I think the key that we're to this receiving prayer, right? Praying and seeing what we're praying for, right? I think a key to receiving this is found in verses 7 and 8 here. Why is it so important? Jesus says, right, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, why is it so important to read the Bible? I've actually seen articles, Christian articles, say stop telling people to read their Bibles. I was like, what on earth is from Christian, like, publications, stop telling people to read their Bibles. You're like, no, we need to tell people to read their Bibles a whole lot more than they do. Right? Because here's the deal, church. If we abide in him, Jesus says, you abide in me, and my words abide in you. My words abide in you, right? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, right? My words abide in you, right? We abide in him and my words abide in you. Then you can ask whatever you want. You want to know why, church? Because the word of God living in you is going to adjust the stuff you want to ask for. Right? Look, we could all say, all of us, kids talk about being blessed, have things that we don't really need, right? We live in a prosperous country. Amen. I've got stuff in my, that I own things I don't need. you know what? But God has adjusted my heart to a point over the years where it's like, you know what? If I have it, I enjoy it. If I don't, then I don't have it. Doesn't affect me one way, either direction. I enjoy it when I have it, and if I don't have it, then whatever, no worries, right? I'm not hooked on these things, right? And it's like, as I was working on this week, the Spirit of God taught me, he says, son, the church is so temporary, right? We're going to talk about opening doors in a couple Sundays, right? And the Lord's like, look, you always, little preview. He says, oh, you always think about, oh, I need a door open in this job. I need a door open here. I need a door open here. He's like, dude, you're so carnal. He says, do you realize how easy it is for me to give you a job? Like nothing. Give you a promotion? Nothing. He's like, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like John looks up and sees a door opened in heaven. Oh, and he goes up and goes through that door. Right? See, the Bible is divinely inspired and designed by God to help guide us into right living. Jesus says that if we abide in him, getting our nourishment from the vine, and, everybody say and his words abide in us, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Is he saying that I can literally ask for anything? I don't think so. I think he's saying once you've committed to this journey of getting your nourishment from the vine. Church, there's only two places to get nourishment from. You're getting nourishment from the vine or you're getting it from the world. That's it. There's no gray, right? I'm getting it from Jesus. I'm getting it from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, or I'm getting it from everything else, right? And Jesus is like, look, once you've made the decision to get your nourishment from me, your life from me, your joy from me, your satisfaction from me, and you're going to ingest my word. James, again, as he says, to receive the word implanted, right? Permanently finding a place in my soul that the word of God is directing my decisions. The word of God is affecting my desires, the things I want, the things I pursue, the things I chase after, right? When I allow the word of God to adjust those things, he says, now you can ask whatever you want because you realize there are certain things you should not ask for. Amen. See, abiding in Jesus and his words abiding in me changes who I am. Contrast, let's think about this. How many of you have ever gone, like you got saved, you walked away from things, and then you like went back, not even sinful stuff. You just went back and you go, oh, guys, you remember we used to do that, you know? And you go and you watch an old movie that you loved way back, and you watch this movie and you're just like, oh, my God. Wait a second. You know, I don't remember that part, right? Because it didn't even register, right? But because things are changing in you, you know, old music you used to listen to, like, I mean, man, some old song, put old music in, and I'm like, I used to listen to this? What? Can I get amen, right? Because why? Our DNA is shifting inside of us. Who we are, we're becoming a new creation day by day, man, right? Is that all right? A few verses down here, verse 16, same chapter, John 15, look what Jesus says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Come on, church, say that with me. Say bear fruit. Bear fruit, look what he says. And, everybody say and that your fruit would remain. So that some of you are new at River Valley here. 10 years I've been pastoring in just a couple months here. It's crazy. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible is so that. The building agrees. There's lots of so that's in the Bible. There's lots of, I've never even counted how many there are. There's lots of them, all right? You study into the Greek language, the original language, those so that's are there. It's this word that denotes purpose. It's telling you this happens so that this can happen. Or if you do this, this is okay. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, well, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, see my face, turn from the work of days, then I'll hear them from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. So if our land is not being healed, whose fault is it? Ours or God's? Totally ours, right? Completely 100%. Is that all right? So here's this verse. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Condition, right? Now let's talk about being fruitful, because the church is making a mess out of this. We make fruitful things, Western culture church, fruitful things is numbers, anointing, all right, gifts, all kinds of crazy stuff. Can I get amen, church, right? What do we think? Wow, look how fruitful that church is. What do we think? Look how many people go there, right? Look how fruitful that ministry is. What do we see? Facilities, staff, you know, income, all these things, right? Nowhere in the Bible does it describe fruitfulness like that. Nowhere. You know what? If that's the definition of fruitfulness, Jesus was extremely unfruitful. That guy's church went from like, you know, hundreds of people to 12 in a pretty short amount of time. Can I get amen from anybody? The fruit, a fruitful Christian, my beloved, is a Christian who is displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit of the Holy Spirit, fruitful. Never, you study fruit in the Bible, never does it associate with giftings, anointings, power, never. It's associated with character every single time. Every single time. So what is Jesus saying? You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Be a fruitful Christian. Be a mature Christian. Be a Christian who is demonstrating, who is, again, hooked to the vine, branches hanging out, and the fruit that's hanging off the end of that branch is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that it would remain, he says. Not only like, okay, I had a good week, everything lined up, and so, man, I was really good this week, and it was, Jesus is so proud of me. He says, man, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You should be hanging this fruit off your branches 24/7, nonstop. Pastor, I'm going through a hard time. Okay. Does the Holy Spirit defeated death, I'm pretty sure, and he's living inside you. Did you die? Nope. Well, then you're probably doing all right. Can I get amen, church? Look, you want to know what's inside something? Squeeze it. You'll know what's inside something when you squeeze it. Right? It's easy to be good when everything's going the way I want it to go. When I get squeezed, what's coming out? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did. It's in there, because if it wasn't in there, it wouldn't come out. Guilty, church, I ain't preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I should just sit down and preach at the wall over here. You know what I mean? Is this all right? Bless you. See, church, the prophet Jeremiah, I think, it's either Jeremiah or Isaiah, I mix them up. I think they actually both say a similar thing, but they talk about, you know, that we're to be called these like oaks of righteousness, right? The planting of the Lord. that he may be glorified. And one of those times when he talks about this Old Testament prophetic images of trees, he says, you'll be planted by streams of water, and even in the dry seasons, you will not fear the heat, but your leaves will continually remain green, and you will always bear fruit. Why? Because I'm not waiting on the rain, I'm getting my water from the river. See, I'm going through a dry season, Pastor. Dude, is the Holy Ghost in you or not? Can I get amen, church? Like, I don't need to wait for rain if I got a river inside me. I like rain. Come on. We almost sang that song today. We haven't sang in a while. We receive your rain. Right, we almost sang it this morning. Can I get amen? Man, we love when God showers upon us. But he's saying, look, I've put life in you, man. Start living inside out. There is life here. You don't need this to be working good for you to be good. Take the life that's in you and start influencing wherever you go. If it's dried and burned up, then dump some water on it. Can I get amen? Be fruitful. You want to test how fruitful you are? Borrow my 2-year-old and spend 6 hours in the truck with her. I had to repent a few times. As we hear them, the little ones in the back, amen. We love little kids. Think about this, church. James, Jesus' brother, says that we don't get, if you look in the book of James, this is what he's talking about, prayer and receiving, right? He says, the reason we don't get what we ask for is because we ask amiss, it says in King James Version, right? You ask amiss. And what James goes on to describe is that you ask because you want to spend it on your own desires. You've not had your desires curbed by the Spirit of God, curbed by the Word of God. No, you don't need that. You don't need to pursue this. The Bible doesn't say you can't be rich. It says don't pursue riches. Right? He says, look, if God blesses you with money, praise God. He says, but we're not allowed to pursue it. Right? He says, don't waste your time because it's going to grow wings like a bird and fly away. Is that all right? So let's bring this home a little bit. Right? How many of us have asked God for really good things? Come on, raise your hand, church. Like really godly things, right? Like this is a good kingdom, you know, right? Some of you have prayed for sick folks and they did not get healed, right? We've prayed for like, you know, I got no money. Lord, I need some money. And, you know, whatever. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for our kids. We pray for our parents. We pray for coworkers. We pray for all the, you know, Lord, touch them, you know, and then we see with our eyes is no progress, right? We get discouraged. I think, Lord, you said anything I ask for, you're going to give it to me. So what's up? Right? He's saying, keep going. Sometimes the answer is going to be no. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Right? See, what Jesus is getting at, my beloved, is that there needs to be sustained fruitfulness. Everyone say sustained fruitfulness, that your fruit would remain, right? Would remain. If, my beloved, look, I'm preaching with you. If we hit this point where we feel like we're just burning out, we feel like we're, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, I'm losing patience, I'm losing this, I'm da-da-da, whatever. We're drawing from the wrong source. We're drawing from the wrong source. That's the truth. If the river of life is here, which it is, everybody say it is. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's what's feeding my tree, right? And he says, my leaves will stay green and I'll continuously bear fruit. Is that all right? I think what I see here, church, is that sustained fruitfulness is the evidence of a mature believer. Think about it like this. Many of us have kids. I'm pretty sure we've all been kids at some point. All of us. But with our kids, when they're really little, right? So like Elena's my littlest, right? She's just the other night, we were eating dinner, and Everly, she's our almost five now. Crazy, right? Some of you remember Everly coming out. She's almost five. Jeez. She just wolfed down her food, and she's like, can I have a popsicle? And Elena hears popsicle, and she has a meltdown. Like ate literally like one ziti, and that was it. You know, and she's like, ah, popsicle, and just freaking out, losing her mind, right? We could not get her to sit back down and eat her pasta. She was demanding a popsicle, and we were like, no. Now that at two, she's just over two. That's one of the first times that we've told her, like, look, you need to do this. If you do this, you get this. If you humble yourself and pray, I mean, if you eat all your pasta, then you get a popsicle. Dude, I tell you what, you would have thought I was pulling her toenails off with pliers. She did not get a popsicle. The next night, she pulled the same stunt. She did not get a popsicle the next night either. Guess what? Last night, she ate some dinner. And she got a popsicle. See, church, let's be honest. And be honest about yourself as well, okay? This is not pointing fingers. We can be really immature sometimes. Can I get amen? Okay, we got one person brave enough to raise their hand in the middle. Two. Do I get three? Four. Come on. Isn't it just like, not especially if you've been in it a while, you just want to punch yourself in the face. What is wrong with you? Right? And then we all know folks that are really immature, don't we? That's easier to admit, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I know tons of those. But the Bible, my beloved, take Ephesians chapter 4, fivefold ministry chapter, right? Jesus, the Bible says Jesus gave to the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Keep reading on down. So that you would grow into a mature man, no longer blown about by winds and waves of doctrine, by the trickery and deceitfulness, not of the devil, Paul says, of men. Of men. Goodness gracious, turn the news on it now and look at what men are doing in our culture. Oh my, what on earth? Like, I didn't like the news up till a year ago. I really don't like it now. Man, people saying stuff, you're like, do you went to college and you're saying that? Unbelievable stuff, right? But Elder Mo and I were texting the other day, and I said, look, the Bible says this is what's going to happen. Like, we should not be upset about it. We should pray. We should stand. We should let our light shine. We should stand up for righteousness. But looking at the world and getting upset about what sinners are doing, my beloved, this is what's going to happen. This sexual deviancy, we're seeing just the tip of the iceberg, church. If you're offended right now, you better grow up because it's going to get worse. Mark my words. The culture is coming after the church. It's going to happen. I'm teaching you this stuff so that we will be strong and not shaken when it does. Can I get amen? Ephesians chapter 3, going to tie some stuff together here. Almost done, maybe. Guys, I love this. Absolutely love this section so much. So chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read the end of chapter 3, but chapter 4, verse 1, I just want to give you guys a little nugget, some of you that are newer with us, hopefully you're reading your Bibles, but look, please don't read your Bible like a normal book, like chapter, 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 and stop. Read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on in there, because chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, first word, therefore, meaning, Paul said something previously that he's now going to talk about. He's got to connect it backwards. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? All right. So chapter 4, verse 1 is it therefore. So we're going to back up in the end of chapter 3. We touched on this Wednesday night in prayer. Chapter 3, verse 20. We all know this one really well. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, because of this truth, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, who's you right here? The church, right? This is not an individual letter. This is a church letter. It's talking to a congregation, right? I implore you corporately to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, we're going to tie this all together here. So we're still talking about receiving prayer, right? Receiving prayer. How many people want to pray and receive what you pray for? I hope everybody raises their hand because that's pretty awesome. Right? How many people have received something you prayed for? You prayed and got it directly. Pretty awesome, right? I mean, you're like, dude, that actually worked that time. Praise God. Right? It's kind of like golf, I'm figuring out. You know, like golf, you have one good hole and you're like, all right, I'll come back. 17 holes of just absolute garbage and you have one, you're like, okay, I'll pay $50 for more 17 holes of punishment and one hole that's good. Amen. So let me like try to tie this thing together. Going back to about kids for a second. I know for me, I can say this. I think most of us can say this. When we were young, when we got saved, right, brand new in the Lord, it's like everything just lined up. Right? It's just like God was just blessing your socks off, man. You didn't have to do anything. You're just a complete idiot. And God was just like, it's okay, man. Here you go. Pop out. You know, I mean, just pouring blessings out on you. And then at some point, like you just like the choke chain, you know, those things you with the dog, you push the button and it lets the leash out. Then you let go and it catches them. You know what I mean? At some point, the Lord yanks the choke chain on you and you're like, you know, and he starts working on you. He says, you stop doing that. You're like, well, stop doing what? He's like, that. Stop talking like that. Stop watching that on television. Stop listening to that kind of music. Stop treating people like that. Go forgive that person. Go tell them you're sorry. I don't know why. Because God does not want a bunch of babies walking around on the earth. Because you know what? One of the things that taints the gospel is a bunch of baby Christians can't get their act together. Wow, that was a little rough, wasn't it? Welcome back from vacation, Pastor. Church, come on, man. Why does David's son die when he sins with Bathsheba? Think about what he says in there. The prophet Nathan, I think, is the prophet comes in that particular story. Nathan comes and he calls David out. He tells him, "Oh, there is a man. There is a man that comes. This stranger came to the village and he comes in and there's this man that's got all kinds of sheep." And instead of giving this stranger one of his sheep, he goes and finds a man that only has one sheep, and he takes the sheep from this man, and he gives it to the stranger. And David's like, what a wicked man. He should be killed. And Nathan's like, you're the man, bro. And that's not like a good, like, hey, you're the man. It's you. And then he pronounces the punishment from God. Everybody say punishment. Or discipline. Right? And he says, because you've done this, your sons will rise up against you, your wives will be taken, the kingdom will be taken, da-da-da-da. He goes on this list. But then, church, read the story. There's a shift, and he says, but because you've given your enemies an opportunity to blaspheme the name of the Lord, the boy will die. Church, how many times do we drag Jesus through the mud because we cannot get our act together? I ain't talking about sin. I'm talking about character. The Spirit of God, the Word of God is in us to make us like Jesus. Fruitful. Is that all right? Come on, man. People are going to push your buttons. People are going to try to drag you into all kinds of conversations, arguments. I'm finally figuring out, I'm like, you know what? Okay, I see that one. I fell through that trap a few times. I saw it this time. I'm going to step around that one. We got to deal with this, but I'm not going to fall into this trap. I see that, right? Is that all right, church? God is trying to bring mature sons and daughters. Romans chapter 8, all of creation subjected to the curse against its will in hope by him, capital H, God, who subjected it, that the revealing of the sons of God. What? Jesus came, church, to birth sons and daughters of God. It's our job to push back on the curse. Think about that. Romans 8, go read it. Pretty powerful stuff. Am I making sense? Back to Ephesians here. We're going to wrap this up. Talking about receiving prayer, right? Paul makes this declaration about God in chapter 3, verse 20, that God is able. Everybody say able. Right? To him who is, say it again, able. The Greek word here, if you've never studied this, it's fascinating. The Greek word here, church, is dunamis. Dunamis. We get dynamite from that word. All right? It is one of the most powerful words in the Greek language. Dunamis. It's translated elsewhere in the scriptures when we see the word miracle. Dunamis. When Jesus performed all kinds of miracles among them, the word miracle right there is dunamis. So God, Paul's saying, God is supernaturally able to do what? Far more, some translations would say exceedingly more, above and beyond, abundantly beyond all that we what? Everyone who asks receives. Paul's talking about this same kingdom principle here, right? So if God is able, God is supernaturally able, right? There's no issue with whether God can or cannot do it, right? What this means, my beloved, is that God is completely, 10,000% without question, able to do absolutely anything that he wants to. He doesn't even have to try harder to do something else. Come on, how many times have we faced a situation where we're like, whoa, that's a big one. God's like, no, it's not. It's big to us because we're sitting down here on earth looking up at it. He says, get up in heavenly places where you're seated next to me on my throne and start looking down on it from up there, and you'll see it like I see it. It's nothing. Right? We can back up and look up at it, or we can climb up on the throne and look down at it from a position of authority. Is that all right? Paul then connects this together with this concept. He is able to do exceedingly more than I ask or think, right? Think about this, church. God has the ability to do way more than I'm asking for. Literally, as I'm studying this section, I type this up, I go get a drink, pop my phone up on Facebook. The first thing hits my Facebook page is this person posts half of this verse and says, God's about to do more than you're even asking him to. And I was like, finish the scripture, bro. Because you know what? I'm gonna prove it to you. If you don't choose to do the beginning of chapter 4, you know what God will not do? Exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that you can ask or think. Because we are choosing to remain in a state of immaturity. Amen. How many people want me to go back on vacation? So if God's able, what's the catch? Look at the next phrase. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. Everybody say this phrase with me. According to. According to the power. Oh, guess what Greek word is right there? It's dunamis again. So now, to him who is dunamis, able to do far more abundantly beyond anything you can ask or think, according to the dunamis that's at work Does Paul say within you? Oh. Then, not a personal letter. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, those are personal letters written from Paul to those men, right? So you got to read those letters like that. It's a letter personally written to Titus. This is a letter written to a church, corporate. He's not saying the power works in you or you or you. He's saying to according to the power that works in us. What we would call today in church the corporate anointing. Pastor Al, can I get amen? You know what we want to see, church? We want to see corporate anointing. We want to see the power of God. I will dwell with them and walk among them. That's what we want to see. I don't know about you. That's what I want to see. When we gather, I want to see the Lord walking in our midst. I want to see a corporate anointing. I want to see my river and your river and your river and your river all coming together and making a big, fat, powerful river that carves its own way through the landscape. Paul's saying, look, here's what's available to you, right? This is what, therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, I, the prisoner of the Lord. Church, I read this the other Saturday morning, I don't know what time it was. Saturday, I was up at 4 a.m. You guys want to borrow a two-year-old? 4 a.m. Mama, from the other room. Mama, mommy, mommy, mama. Lord, I need to be fruitful right now. Dude, that kid was up at 4 a.m., happy. Brought her into bed, and she rolls over to my wife. She goes, can I play your phone, mommy? No. Only in the car you can do that. Dude. So anyway, I was up earlier. Therefore, I the prisoner of the Lord. I read that, church. The Spirit of God said to me, son, When are you gonna decide to be my prisoner? Oh, man. He says, I'm not going to make you one. You got to choose. Think of what a prisoner is. A prisoner is restricted of what they're allowed to do. You know what we teach in church? Oh, you're friends with Jesus, brother. Lord, help me. You know what I think is ruining the church more than anything today is partial truth. Are we friends with Jesus? Well, Jesus says, if you do what I command you, then you're my friends. Ouch. Right? He says, then I feel your friendship towards me. Right? What's God's love language? Anybody read the Five Love Languages book? I'd never read it. The Lord said to me, he said, you want to know what my love language is? Obedience. I feel you loving me when you're obedient. Right? Another scripture, Matthew 21. I was when Christine was giving her testimony, I wasn't checking Facebook. If you saw me on my phone, the Holy Spirit was giving me a scripture. I looked it up. Matthew 21, Jesus says this, anyone who asks for anything in prayer believing shall receive it. We're like, well, geez, I've done that tons of times. Didn't get nothing. Well, the problem is we don't understand what the word believe means in the Bible. Study the word believe in the Bible. You know what it means? Obedient. Study it out, church. If I believe God, it means I do what he says to, he tells me to do. That's how I show that I believe God. To say I believe God and then do whatever I want, I don't believe God. Is that all right? Almost done. What's the catch? What's the catch here, right? If God's able, according to an agreement with, that's what that word means, according to or in agreement with the power at work within us, not within you, us, right? Paul's talking about corporate anointing. In other words, can God do above and beyond anything that I personally can ask or think? Obviously. But that's not Paul's context here. Paul's talking to the church. In Ephesus. Paul's talking about the church. seeing the miraculous, unstoppable, raw, unhindered power of God literally breaking forth in their midst. I know Pastor Rob preached about this when I was gone. Right, there's a church in Granby, my beloved, Valley Brook Church. Right, anybody know about Valley Brook? Anybody ever been to Valley Brook? They are an offshoot from Valley Baptist right up the street here. All right, they'd bought a piece of land. I'm telling you a story. They stood on this verse right here, this passage right here. They bought a piece of land for years. There was a sign, go up Route 10 north of Granby. There was a sign there, future home of Valley Brook Church. Right? And then probably 10 years ago, let's say it is, there was a bunch of them got together. They started praying. They started fasting. And they stood on this passage I'm teaching you out of right here. And they said, God, we're believing you for do something abundantly beyond anything we can even imagine. Church, one day, out of the blue, they get a call. One of the people, they live up Route 189, right? It's in the woods, the middle of nowhere. They get a phone call. Across the street's a horse farm. 18 acres of land, big barn, house, like all this stuff. The person died. Had no kids, and something was in their will about, I want you to donate this land to a religious organization. They got a phone call. They were given, everybody say given. Given 18 acres of land, the barn, the house, a horse ring, all kinds of stuff. So they sold the other piece of land that they paid money for. I've never been in the church. I've been up there for all kinds of. They turned the barn into the church. You drive up, it looks like a barn. Sliding doors, all kinds of stuff. It's beautiful. Man. Right? I mean, how much money would it cost to buy 18 acres of land in Granby? A lot. God's like, nothing to me. I'm going to prove to you what this, that's 20 miles from here, church. This is what they did right here. Right? Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, right? The prisoner of the Lord. Let me just tie this up real fast. The prisoner of the Lord. It's like when you feel like you got to say something to somebody and the Spirit of God says, you shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut. I'm a prisoner. I'm not a friend right there. He says, I'm the warden. Shut up. Does that feel warm and fuzzy? Anybody ever hear the Holy Spirit tell them to shut up? How about with your spouse? Oh, for sure. I saw a couple look at each other. They're like, never us, honey. It's been great the whole time. Paul, look, he says, I implore you. The Greek word church is Paul is begging the church. He's pleading with the church. He's crying out to the church. He's encouraging the church. He says, look at what God not only can do, but wants to do, right? God wants to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we can ask or think, right? Paul's saying, now, position yourself to receive it. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner, everybody say worthy. Worthy. Well, I thought I'm worthy because I got saved. Nope. Nope. You're worthy to go to heaven because you got saved. For heaven to come to you, you got to shape up a little bit. Is that all right? Telling you the truth. Right? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. What's the calling to which you've been called? Ephesians 3:20. This abundance of God. Can I get amen? Then Paul gives us the list. Here's how we are worthy to walk in this. He says, with all humility. Church, you know what is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Humility. Man, I wish it was. It'd be a lot easier. You guys ever hear that song, you know, we bow our head, we bow our hearts. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. I love that song except for that line. The Holy Spirit's not going to make you humble. Don't even pray that. You're going to waste a lot of time praying, asking him to make you humble. He'll show you what's wrong with your life. Then you got to choose to humble yourself before the hand of the Lord. So the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen? Humility, Paul says, You want to walk in this abundance of God? You need to be humble, gentle, patient, showing tolerance for one another, in love. The Greek, study the Greek phrase. Church, you know what it means? It means put up with each other. That's the Greek phrase, put up with each other. I'm going to put you in a church with folks that you don't like. I'm going to put you in a church. Look at, I almost looked right at somebody when I said that. I didn't look at nobody. I'm going to look over here at the drums. He says, I'm going to put you in a church with folks that rub you the wrong way. I'm going to put you in a church with folks that smell weird, that got bad breath, they eat weird stuff, they dress weird, they drive a car you don't like, they park in your parking spot, they sit in your seat on Sunday. My goodness gracious. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice with me, church, four of the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit are right here. Paul's saying, look, Jesus says, I appointed you that you'd be bear fruit, your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask in my, ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. Be mature. Stop being an immature believer. Stop being a baby. Stop getting upset about everything. Be a mature, fruitful Christian, and you will access this abundance of God. Paul says the same thing. You want to live in this abundance of God? Here's how to do it. Humble, gentle, kind, right? Patient with each other, preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let's stand up in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we just pray right now. Lord, the issue is not what you can do, because you can do anything. The issue is not what you want to do, because we already know what you want to do. You want to pour out heaven on earth. You want to use us, God. You want to use us personally. You want to use River Valley corporately. You want to use Valley Baptist corporately. You want to use this church over here. Lord, that's what you want. We know that. So if you're able and you want to, that means that there's something gumming up the works. Lord, I pray today that we would see how incredibly important it is for us to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to change us and mature us and make us strong in the Lord and the power of His might, to make us people that are no longer offended by all kinds of silly things, God, to make us people that stop complaining, to make us people that stop whining about things, to make us people that stop competing with one another, God, to make us people that stop backbiting and gossiping and talking about folks behind their back, Lord, to stop being people, God, that are wooed by the devil, that are wooed by the things of this world. But God, that the Spirit of God, that we would surrender, we would submit, we would become a prisoner of the Lord. That we'd be so sensitive to the Spirit of God when He speaks and whispers, oh, don't say that. We'd say, oh, yes, sir. Or when we know we have to say something, yes, sir. I'm your prisoner. I'm obedient. Lord, we want to walk in this calling. We want to walk in this abundance, exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond anything that we can ask or think. Jesus, you said in John 15 there that in this my Father's glorified, that you're fruitful. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to be fruitful Christians, God. We want to have mature, sweet, tasty fruit. We want it to bear on our branches 24/7, no matter what's going on around us, dry season, rainy season, cold, hot, I don't care. I want my fruit hanging out there 24/7, 365, in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Guys, have an awesome week. If you need prayer for anything, please come on up. Love to pray with you. Good to see everybody. Thank you for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name. Hey guys, hang on. We got a word here. Just thank you for just giving us a moment here.
God bless everyone. I know that Pastor Mark is talking is confirmed about last night. I have a dream. I wasn't in one church, in my church in New York, but I know this message is for the church, all church. It's a confirmation because I was in the altar. It was empty glasses, about two or three. Okay. It was empty glasses, and I was picking up the glasses. And after I wake up, I was praying. I said, what mean this one? I feel in my spirit, this is, how is the church? We don't have to be our cup or our base. Have to be full. Yep. Full, or like Pastor Mark is preaching, full of the Holy Spirit. If this is the time, I think we have to fill up our base. Like Monique was talking, this is the confirmation, how we worship. We worship. We have to enter in the presence of the Lord with all our heart, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is the confirmation, Pastor. He was preaching to the church. Amen. And saints, we are in the hand. Me too. This preaching on the dream, it was for me and for all the church. Yes. Okay. God bless to everyone.
Amen. Guys, thank you so much. Have an awesome week. In Jesus' name.
Yes, I'd just like to say that we do have our small group today, and we'd like to start as soon as possible, please. Thank you.